Welcome one, welcome all into the Air Raid podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. This is not Albie Shore. Albie Shore just had a baby. He's kind of sick. We're giving Albie the day off, but we've got Jacob Harris and Jeremy, who I'm not going to say your last name because I will get it wrong. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Namaste, friends. On a meditation binge after the past week.
Well, guys, it's an exciting time to be a Red Raider, and it's an exciting time for Matt Wells and Red Raider football. I don't know if you guys saw last night, but not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, six recums from Coach Wells last night. What did you guys think from last night's Twitter fury?
Well, I thought that it's really good that we're getting a lot of these guys to come in on their official visits. It's a big weekend for the program and for, for the city, just kind of getting these guys acclimated, getting these guys kind of know what life in Lubbock is like. And to get, six of them in one day to commit, that's really, really impressive.
I was incredibly tired of seeing all of the other head coaches around, D1 football, putting these emojis, eyes emojis, hook 'em emojis, whatever. I was ready for our coach to start doing something like that. He did start doing something like that. You get a Reckham here and there. It was exciting. And all of a sudden, you got Reckham times two, three, four, five, six. I lost it. I thought, this is it. We're reaching the pinnacle of recruiting. It's going to happen. Texas Tech is going to win Big 12 next year.
Jeremy, these guys don't suit up for 2 years, right?
I know.
But you're right. It's very exciting to see. All these guys came in for their official visits on the 20th, I believe. And yeah, we nabbed a handful of them all in one day. And so super exciting. Wide receivers, running backs, skill positions on the offense. It's O-linemen. And all from Texas. Jacob brought this up pre-pod. Jacob, what does it mean that all these guys are from the heart of Texas?
It's a big deal for the program. I think that a lot of what has kind of hindered other programs like A&M in Texas, to name two, is that a lot of the big guns that are, these bigger recruits are heading to the SEC and to other conferences. But the fact that we can sit here, we can have our recruiting base here in Texas and not have to look in other states as much is a really big deal. It'll make recruiting a lot easier on the staff, and it'll be a lot easier to get them out here.
Yeah, and I'll chime in on this too. Texas is one of, if not the biggest recruiting pool for Division I football. You see a lot of teams, and it wasn't always like this, but you've seen a lot of teams increasingly go harder at Texas recruits, and that's why, like Jacob alluded to, a lot of people are going to the SEC. A lot of people are going to Big Ten. You see these when you're watching games and they start talking about players. You see they're from Texas. You think, oh, man, that's a long way, from Texas. And we have a lot of quality schools here. But the thing was is that other schools started coming in and poaching Texas recruits. So it means a whole lot for somebody like Coach Wells and his staff to come to Texas and start re-engaging, the high schools around the state. Because there's plenty of talent to be drawn from a state that so well touts itself as, high school football is king. So it's a good look on Wells and a great look on Texas Tech to kind of re-engage that recruiting base.
Yeah, and in like West Texas, one of the things Matt Wells said when he came to Texas Tech is like, we've got to recruit Texas. And while these might be the greater Texas area, DFW is a huge recruiting opportunity for Matt Wells.
Can't agree with you more. I mean, I think it's the heart of Texas football. Some people argue Houston is, but I think that the heart of a ton of the talent in Texas comes from the DFW area. I mean, just looking at some of these guys that we got, I mean, a lot of them are from that DFW area.
And this is something that's been emblematic since the, Spike Dyke days. Somebody who was well known in the high schools around Texas as he had different coaching positions around Texas and kind of pinnacled it at Texas Tech. Like recruiting Texas is important and it's huge. You got these kids that grow up their life in a state that just loves football. Their family is close it is a win-win if you can come in and say like, hey, you know, this is cool. We're going to help you get to the next level and you can stay close to home. That's huge to high schoolers. So like seeing that and being able to see other schooler, other recruits noticing that people are coming to Texas Tech, it's just a snowball effect in all honesty.
Well, not only that, you look at one of the more underrated attributes of Matt Wells is he's been recruiting Texas for a long time. He was recruiting Texas at Utah State. He's recruiting Texas really well now, and he has established relationships with some of these high school coaches, and it's starting to pay off. But I'm kind of curious, with the Rec'em Time 6 that happened, who are some of the guys, and let's let Jeremy go first. Who's the guy you're most excited to see?
I think that's hard. The more I looked into these guys, the more I kept kind of changing my allegiances, I guess you could say, for this 2020 class. But I think for right now, Taj Brooks is one of my higher up excitements. He's a top 50 running back. He had 22 offers from a lot of powerful schools. And from what tape I was able to watch, I mean, he just runs hard. He's got such a vision and a quickness, but he also has this very powerful strut to him. I don't feel like he's going to get trucked over himself or destroyed by any kind of defensive back. I feel like he's stout enough, but quick enough. He's got a really good balance, and that probably explains, you know, his rankings and the stars that he's earned. So I think Taj Brooks is my number one guy for that 2020 class so far.
Jacob, who do you like?
I like speed, man. And talking about speed, you got the speediest guy, Quinn Bright. I think he's going to come in. He may redshirt the first year. He's a little bit small, but, you know, we get him in that weight room. He's going to bulk up a little bit. Dude reminds me of Kiki, man. He's shifty. He's got real good speed. He knows how to operate in the open field, which is really impressive for a guy his age. I think he's going to end up being one of the best we got from this class.
So it's funny, both of the players you guys brought up are both the players I'm particularly excited about. Taj Brooks kind of he's 5'9". You'd think he'd look small, but he's not. He's like 212 pounds. And Jeremy, you're exactly right. No one's going to be running this kid over. He's got size. He's got really good footwork. Every cut he makes is north and south. And I think a lot of coaches would value that. Back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons for Maynard High School. So excited about him. And then Quinn Bright, yeah, another just small speedster, another weapon ready for Joel Fellini's got some weapons to play with once these kids get on campus. Super quick. Reminds me of Kayshawn Carter. He could quickly be his backup in 2020.
And let's contextualize that Quinn Bright, speedy. I think we should contextualize that the kid just ran in the Texas State Relays for, you know, the state track meet. And got bronze in the 4x100 and then fifth in the 4x200. So, I mean, he's definitely packing it.
Yeah, if I was Wes Kittley, I might be excited about the kid too.
No, I completely agree with you guys. He's speedy. Like I said, his ability to do stuff in the open field is really impressive. He's shifty. He's not just a one direction guy. He can move between guys. And I think that's what'll set him apart from the rest of these guys.
And one player I wanted to talk about that you guys didn't mention, the highest rated recruit in the class so far, Jalen Polk, another one of those dominoes that went down last night. Huge, 6'2", 185, total red zone threat out of Lufkin, Texas. We had some success in Lufkin with Kiki Kuti, Des Bryant's from Lufkin. Good receivers come out of Lufkin, Texas, and this guy could be the next one. 15 touchdowns, 1,300 yards in two seasons.
I definitely agree with you there, my man. He's a force, and I really like what he does. Just watching his tape, he's big. He's got great hands. He has some separating speed. I think he could, with a couple years of great coaching here at Texas Tech with Joel Fellini, like you said, I think he could become the next great outside threat that we got here.
Yeah, he definitely favors the long route, which I think is super important. It's something that Texas Tech should. We play a lot of short route ball, But I think the long route ball, we can improve on that over the next couple of years. And somebody like Polk is going to make that more accessible because it's something that they're used to with speed and vision and the ability to get open, offer up quarterbacks. And that can be incredibly important further down the stretch, like in third and fourth quarter scenarios.
Now, is there anybody else on the list we've left out? Anyone in particular we want to talk about?
I like offensive linemen, and I think Larry Moore is going to turn into a really good one for us. Just looking at some film on him, he is really, really good at He has really quick feet for a guy his size. He's got good hands, which is really important on offensive linemen. He's good at both run blocking and pass blocking. He's played a couple different positions for Fort Bend Marshall, so that's a really good sign. And I'm really excited about what he brings to the table.
I am the defensive guy in this whole group. I am hype on defense. I've been hype on defense since I came on board, since I came to Texas Tech. Defense is my jam, so I want to shout out to Jonathan Davis, who's a three-star safety out of Oak Cliff, Texas. And Oak Cliff has wonderful coffee, if nobody knew that. Go there, Oak Cliff Roasters, shout out. But this kid had 14 offers from big schools like Arizona, from Georgia Tech, from Purdue, Utah State, you know, Houston. He's definitely, watching a little bit of tape, he's definitely an aggressive defensive back, and that's something I think we need to have more of as we try to progress this defense from the joke that it is, even after, you know, a somewhat more successful last season, but the joke that it is to something that's respectable. And we've always talked about it. If Texas Tech can just have an average defense, you know, this could be a very powerful Big 12 team. So I think Jonathan Davis can offer that moving forward because he's very much aggressive when it comes to looking back at the ball and going for it.
And I think you bring up an interesting point there, Jeremy. Keith Patterson's defense employs a lot of strange positions, hybrid linebackers and safeties. So I think it's really important that he recruits his guys for that defense. And Jonathan Davis could be the first one. All right, let's switch gears here from current recruits to prospective recruits.
Damn, I forgot his name again.
Miles Price. Miles Price.
I believe his name is Miles Price.
Yes, Miles Price. Thank you. Both of you. So he took official visit to Texas Tech, and right after that, Oklahoma State decided to pull his offer because he was previously committed to Oklahoma State. Interesting situation here. What are you guys' thoughts?
Well, my question is, was he committed to Oklahoma State, or was he did he just have an offer? From what I was aware of, he was committed to like Louisiana Tech or something like that back in August.
I know now that he was committed to Oklahoma State at the time that they pulled the offer. He had just committed like last week.
Drama. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a little juicy. You commit, then take an official visit.
Right. That's weird.
Yeah. And I mean, in my opinion, I think every high school athlete should have the opportunity to go visit wherever they want to. But I'm not gonna dog Oklahoma State 100% for this either. I think that if you commit somewhere, that should be the end of your visits. I don't think I would be as dramatic as old Mike Gundy was about pulling scholarship offer. But it would definitely be something I would talk to an athlete about if, you know, they committed to me and then just took an official visit somewhere else. It's a little bit iffy.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't rescind immediately, at least like publicly. You know, I'd give the kid a call, but I don't disagree with it either. I think that, you know, if he was truly committed, which I didn't know, and that's nuts, and he's like, oh, you know what, just kidding, I'm gonna go visit another school. To me, as a coach, that looks like, okay, this kid's not loyal. And if he at the first second he feels like he's not getting what he thinks he deserves, whether or not he's talented, he may just end up transferring away anyway. So why invest our time? Why invest our resources and our coaching ability on a kid that, you know, doesn't want to be here? Because my thought is, you're a high schooler, and I've gone through this process. You're a high schooler and you want to commit to university. That's a big deal. So like the fact that you just say, yeah, I'm committed. I mean, the word commits, like, you know, you're in, all in. So for him to just bail out and, well, not even fully bail out, but to like kind of toy around with the idea of leaving and going to another school, like, that's, you know, I don't fault Gundy, but I do think it's become quite the piece of drama. But it has been that way for a couple of athletes this year.
I agree that every player should have the opportunity to really weigh out their options going into a commitment. You see a lot of guys make a commitment their junior year, and then they have a really awesome senior year, and then they go and commit to a better school. I do think it's ridiculous to pull his offer so early. If it's a kid you want, you don't pull his offer. But now that Mike Gundy has pulled that offer, it's a no-brainer. He's coming to Texas Tech, right?
I don't know.
circle the game on the calendar. I think he's coming.
At first I thought so. I don't know. Will he do the same thing to Tech that he did to Oklahoma State? I mean, will he commit and go visit somewhere else? I mean,
Who was that kid?
Keith Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, will he Keith Miller us and say he's in 110% and then commit to two different schools in 6 months? We don't know.
Yeah, I think the issue is like, and you know, Jacob's got it right, and then so do you, Dylan. You alluded to it. Like you play well maybe your junior year, and your senior year you play even better and you get better offers. Like that just makes sense. It's not like a smaller school is going to look at you and say, no, you should stay because like we really need. They're gonna they get it. You know, you're trying to get to the next level, so makes sense. But like for this kid to be 1 week and then the next week, like there's no in the same conference. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, he's not going back to Oklahoma State. I can tell you that for sure. So it seems like he'll come to Tech. And if not, then, who knows?
Yeah, he's got a lot of offers from guys like Arizona State, Boise State, Colorado, Colorado State, Boston TCU, College.
Right?
Let me see. I think so.
Yeah, so another big tour. Hey, so he'll visit TCU. He'll commit. He'll go visit TCU.
Yeah. Let's see. No, Kansas State, Kansas, a lot of bigger schools looking at him, which, you know, I don't know. It's a big piece of drama, obviously. I just don't think we should read too much into it just because I think this happens more than it gets publicized like this. But, you know, whatever happens, we'll be here.
Now that we've kind of rounded out some of the players that could be that are coming or maybe could be coming in the 2020 class, I think it's important to talk about who's recruiting these players. Obviously, Matt Wells, his brother Luke Wells, Joel Fellini. But then I want to talk about Texas Tech's biggest Twitter recruiter, Tazon Henry. Guys, he's the guy. He's the dude.
That man is the dude. He's the dude on Twitter. I'll tell you, he's the best recruiter that Texas Tech has probably ever had. I think he's responsible for two or maybe even three of the 2019 guys. I mean, he's a hype man. I'll give him credit. He's committed. I mean, if you remember, he was originally committed to TCU back before he committed to us, and he was a hype man for them too, but I'll give him credit. He came in, he's 100% go for Texas Tech. I also think he's going to do great things on the field this year. I think he's probably going to end up being our feature back with the way that this offense runs with a lot of screens and stuff like that.
There was a time last year, preseason, we were talking about, you know, who's your favorite players for these positions. And for running back, mine was, you know, Trey King. But I was like, you know, Tazon Henry is kind of a fascinating player. And as the, you know, Viva Twitter guy, I tweet every now and then, like see him tweeting things, and I'd be like, oh yeah, awesome. You know, you're going to be great. Don't worry. And he was very solemn kind of during the first half of the season. I don't know what clicked. I don't know what Kool-Aid he started drinking. I don't know who he talked to, but there was a flip of the switch at some point, and he starts going all caps, hashtag, no bars at all, just Texas Tech. And it's been nuts to see how enthusiastic on social media that this kid is for Texas Tech. And I love it because it's something that is infectious. People love social media. High schoolers love social media. So to see somebody who's on the team who's so hype about it and just tries to get other people hype about it and goes when they're, oh, I'm trying to get recruited. Like, got this offer. And he's like, no, you know where home is. Like, you come home. Like, come back home. Like, you know where you're going to go is going to take you to the next level. Like, he's always interacting with recruits, and it's hilarious to me because, you know, for us kind of as older journalists, you know, different ages, but like older and, you know, don't tweet at recruits, Like, there's no bars for people on the football team that you just don't see it very often. But this guy is just, I mean, he's just breaking boundaries, and it's hilarious. And you're right, it's working.
And two things here that's most impressive to me. One, like, this is exactly how a young college football player should be using Twitter. Like, not only is he supporting his team, he's supporting the guys around him, but he's trying to draw players around him that will ultimately make him and his team better, which I love. It's this all-in mentality. But then you also have to think, he wasn't a Matt Wells guy, you know? He was a Cliff Kingsbury guy, but, you know, Matt Wells had to come on campus and earn all these guys' trust, and to see some of them buy in so heavy is incredible to see, especially looking at the contrast of styles between Cliff Kingsbury and Matt Wells. So that's a wrap on the recruiting update, Rec'em Time 6. We'll be sure to keep you updated on any more recruits that come across our Twitterverse. Now I think it's time to shift away from football. I know you guys probably don't want to talk about it, but I'd love to show some love to Texas Tech baseball, an incredible run in College World Series. Yes, a disappointing ending, but it's growth by Tim Tadlock every season, and I'm proud to be a Red Raider. I'm proud of that baseball team. What about you guys?
I kind of personally feel like this season, you know, a lot of people came into it looking at it as a rebuilding year. And I mean, if y'all read my article I posted up probably yesterday or the day before, this team wasn't supposed to be great. Yeah, we had Josh Young. Yeah, we had Cam Warren. Yeah, we had a couple other guys that came back, but we weren't supposed to be this good. We had a ton of freshmen, a ton of sophomores that didn't really play last year. We had a ton of different guys that came in, stepped up, and made it farther than we've ever made it before. And that's really impressive for this team. We got a ton of guys coming back next year too. So I think the future's bright for Texas Tech baseball.
Baby steps, Jacob, right? Baby steps. That's the title of the article. Y'all should go read it. It's a really good read, but he's right. And I will shamelessly admit that I was kind of upset during the game because the average, like, margin of loss was about 2 runs, and then we just go out and get stomped. But that's baseball, guys. That's baseball. Sometimes it's your day. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's really not. So, but you can't mask what the team has did all year. Had a lot of young guys. Had a lot of guys that you think not a lot of at the moment for this season. But they came out. They played like a team. Tadlock did everything he could as a coach. Put it on the guys' shoulders, and they carried us through regionals, through super regionals. It's the farthest we've ever been in Omaha. You know, we're getting closer every year, it seems. And that's fine enough for me. That is A-okay, because as long as we're going to Omaha, we're doing it right. Can't win the national championship every year, but I guarantee you guys, I guarantee everybody, we will get it. It is coming. Tadlock has us on the right path. I am more than excited for the future. But yes, that stomping against Michigan, or from Michigan, that still hurts. Still hurts. But there is something better on the horizon.
And I just want to emphasize, like, there has been continued growth. There's no reason to think that, you know, it, like Jeremy said, it's hard to win a national championship every year, but the least you can do is put yourself in the conversation. And that's what getting to Omaha is. And that's what Tim Tadlock is really good at doing. So I agree. I think the finish line is in sight for Texas Tech baseball. Well, that's almost a wrap for this edition of the Air Raid Podcast. Jeremy, give everybody your Twitter handle.
All right, guys, if you really want to follow me, you can go to Deep in the Battledores, because that's where I am 99.99,000% time. The 0.01% I am on my own, it's Jeremy Dane, J-E-R-A-M-E-Y, because my mom likes to spell it unique, D-A-N-E, Jeremy Dane.
Don't try and spell his last name, Jacob. Where can the people find you?
People can find me at JacobHarris_55.
Good stuff. And if this podcast wasn't enough, you want a deeper look into some of these prospects, Jacob and the guys and girls of Viva the Matadors are writing up profiles. And we will
definitely.
Yeah. And we'll keep you posted on any recruits that are coming in the near future. So
it is Rec'em season, y'all.
Rec'em. This has been the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matador. Stay erect, people.
Don't cut any of this.
Yeah, that's the end of the pod right there.